Blog Talk Radio.
Another month. Good morning. It's August the 5th. This is Amazing Grace Ministries, and we are destroying the yokes of bondage. Welcome again to another episode of Blog Talk Radio, where we are taking charge of our lives and living it to the fullness. I am your host, Dr. Maria Carey. I am the president and CEO of Amazing Grace Ministries, and certainly we thank God for our co-hosts who have been conducting an outstanding job and giving you lessons, anointed lessons straight from heaven. And we thank God for her. We thank God for her assistance. And so we have, moving forward or moving into the lesson, we have an outstanding lesson this month. We are operating in a different month, so we've got a different topic. And I want you to pray for us. We go into our announcement segment, and certainly I want you to pray for us as the host and the co-host as we bring the set or the series of lessons for the month of August. And certainly, you know what to do. Praise God. Consider giving a donation to Amazing Grace Ministries, P.O. Box 438, 411, Chicago, Illinois, 60643. I thank God for those that support this ministry and keep it on the air. To everyone listening in radio land, we declare a blessing. And we want to decree covering over your lives as our children get back to school. If this link or if this show has been a blessing to you, please, by all means, give me a text or a call, or text or call the co-host. And my telephone number is 309-750-7584. Certainly, we have a link to the show. If you want that link, give me a text, and I will send you directly the link to that show. Sometimes them HPs and backslash getting to me. I try to know a little bit about computers, but I'm not the most professional, not or the most learned when it comes to that system. But we thank God for computers, right? So let's get to our lesson. We have an exciting lesson today. Certainly the Word of God is illuminating. It will illuminate your heart. It will lift you up. It will take you to a greater level in our Lord Jesus Christ. And we need the Word. We need the Word of God because we're living in a time, we're living in a perilous time. If you look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, you see that everything that that chapter talks about is happening in this world, in this time we're living in now. Men are lovers of themselves. Men love money more than they love others, you know. They're murderers. They're boasters. They're people that are proudful. They're people that's blasphemers, disobedient to parents, so unthankful, unholy, unforgiving, slanderous. So if we look at all that without self-control, all of those things are named in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we're living in this time. And certainly our kids, we're concerned too. It's good to be concerned. We are concerned, and we know that it's in August, and this is the month where the kids begin to go back to school, and there is a fear of the violence of our kids that our kids will face when they go back to school. Certainly, we are facing challenges in this time. And then the saints, the generals of old are going after off the scenes and becoming what they call our ancestors or those that have gone before us. Now the new generation, there's another generation, the baby boomers that are coming to age. And we have to deal with the things or the challenges that we have faced today. So in essence, we know that the Word will take us on a journey. It will give us greater peace, greater hope. It will bring us closer to our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, and it will set the pace for peace. We must recognize and we must understand that we are fighting a good fight of faith and using our spiritual weapons to do so. Now, the month of August, our theme is winning in the battle with supernatural, with the supernatural. And the lesson for today is understanding spirit or spirits and spiritual warfare. So let's get to the Word, shall we? We're going to Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 1 through 7, and I would hope that I'm going to give you enough time because it was brought to my attention that we need to give you time to write down the scriptures and go and read the scriptures with us. So I'm reading the New King James Version. It reads, Moses commands obedience. Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the judgments which I teach you to observe, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers is giving you. You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did at Baal Peor. For the Lord your God has destroyed from among you all the men who followed Baal of Peor. But you who have held fast to the Lord your God are alive, every one of you. Surely I have taught you statutes and judgments, just as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye shall act according to them in the land which you go possess. Therefore, be careful to observe them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the people who were heard, all who hear all these statutes, and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For the great nation is there that has God so near to it, as the Lord our God is near to us, for whatever reason we may call upon him. So I want to talk about some things. I want to talk about understanding spirits and spiritual warfare. We introduced this lesson about living in perilous times, and we must understand and so often talk about that we're living in the last age, this is the last church age, saints. This is it. This is the last church the Revelations talked about. Why is it the last church age? Because the saints are still walking in the land and the rapture have not happened. And certainly I'm a believer that the saints will be raptured out, and the word says that they will be caught up to meet him in the air before tribulation times occur. So in essence, we're living in a time that the word of God says will come, that, and we're living in it now. And as we continue to live in this world, we begin to see that there is more and more stuff occurring. So when we go back to the scripture in Moses, and I want to really give you an understanding and begin to allow you to see what is taking place around you and in the world today, so that you can begin to comprehend what it means to put on the armor and why you need to put on the armor, because we fail to recognize, or we fail to put into place Ephesians 6, chapter 6. So let's get to some definitions, and I've gone over this and we've talked about it, but I want to make it plain as I really get down, as we really begin to talk about spirits. And certainly you're going to have to tune in to all four Saturdays to really get it, because it's going to take all four Saturdays for us to really, really break this down so that you can get it, to understand it. So we got some definitions. So when we talk about weapons, it's something such as skill, idea, or tools. And we've talked about this before, but this may be a little bit a review, because I want you to really understand where we're going here. That is used to win a contest or achieve something. So in essence, when we talk about spiritual weapons, in order to achieve a healthy and victorious life, we have to operate in using our spiritual weapons. We've got to be able to speak to principalities. We've got to be able to see beyond what we see. We can't look at the physical realm or the physical a car. And let me break it down very simply. What we see may not be what is there. And meaning, you have to be able to see with your spiritual eyesight. So then we wrestle. We fight to fight with something. You know, Jacob wrestled and I want to make sure I'm getting them right. Yeah, he had the 12. He wrestled. He wrestled with the angel, and his name was changed. So in essence, because he wrestled, he had to wrestle with something. He had to struggle. He had to move. But in essence, he became victorious. But that does not mean that he didn't have signs or after signs of the fight that he was in. So we got a battlefield. We in a battlefield, and that battle is where we're fighting. And certainly we're fighting here on earth. And I want the saints to understand that this is not our home. We're living to live again. But until we get to the other side, we have got principalities and spirits that we are going to encounter. And they are, when we're talking about being in a battle, you've got to have an enemy. And we encounter oppressing foes that are fighting against us. And Satan is operating to win. There is no doubt, there should be no doubt in your mind that Satan is coming to steal, kill, and destroy. He is aiming to win. He is aiming to succeed. He is aiming to take your very peace of mind, your children, your home, your money, everything that God has given you. Understand, dear, that Satan wants to take it. So in essence, there is a war. And a war means a state of open armed conflict between nations, states, and parties. So you are in war. Don't think, don't get it in your mind that you can just relax a little bit because it's going to be okay. I can rest. You cannot rest from the enemy. We have to be in our state of fighting all the time. Now, you can rest in the Lord because he's with you. We understand that the battle does not belong to us because God goes before us and fights. But we talked, and we have mentioned about being asleep. And certainly if you caught asleep, you cannot see the enemy approaching. And if you don't see the enemy approaching, it may be too late because he may have stole something close to you. So now warfare. Warfare is that military operation between enemies. We understand that there was World War I, there was World War II, there was a war between the North and the South to free the slaves. We understand what war is, but there is a spiritual war as well. Now, spiritual warfare is this. It is the conflict between good and evil. It is the ongoing battle between two different kingdoms or dimensional kingdoms, opposing kingdoms, the kingdom of God, kingdom of Satan. And God's kingdom is good. Satan's enemy is what? It's evil. It is a spiritual conflict. Spiritual warfare also manifests is something you can see, is able to be seen in the natural realm of flesh and blood. Humans are caught in the midst of this conflict and may participate in the struggle on either side. So the Bible talks about the fact that we have the power to loose and to bind. And certainly as Christians, and it says to bind on earth as is also bound in heaven, and to loose on earth is loose in heaven. So when you get to those scriptures that's talking about binding and loosing, there is a manifestation that you pray about in the spiritual realm that will be manifested or in the natural realm. So in essence, you pray in the spiritual realm for something to happen or to occur, and it is manifested in this natural realm. That's why it says the prayers of the righteous availeth much, because the prayers of the saints, and when you bend your knee and when you pray and when you seek God and you're calling on the name of the Lord, and you calling out the names of your children, you calling on things to happen, and things happen because you are praying and you're taking it to the spiritual realm, but there's a manifestation of your prayers. So Satan's kingdom is wings in all areas of life. Satan has influenced every area. Now, every area, the government, the classroom, the boardroom, political, everything, everything, injustice in the law system, in every system that you would think, there is corruption. Would you ever thought that a sitting president would be indicted on so many charges before? So this is the time that we're living in, and we see Satan's influences. We see 2 Timothy chapter 3 just operating in full form. But we have, and we read the Bible. And the Bible states that the battle belongs to God. So because the battle belongs to God, we continue to understand and know that God is in control. So I want to read some more scriptures, and I'm going to get into spirit. Ephesians, and I might just have you go read these yourself. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. This is a familiar scripture. We talk about it. It says, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that she may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. And then y'all can read 13 and 14, and then certainly when you jump down to 18, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication, and it says, in the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And then you got Genesis, and I want to read Genesis 3 and 22. Then the Lord said, behold, the man has become like us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat it and live forever. So in essence, that scripture is talking about when Adam and Eve sinned. And saying, and we often say that this Bible is one continuous book. It's broke up into many, many chapters. But if we look at the history, we look at the data, we look at the time, and we know that Adam, all of these things that are occurring now is because of sin. Because Adam and Eve bit that apple, and when they bit that apple, they knew, they began to be aware of good and evil. So in essence, they have become, in essence, a person that now they know, and God couldn't let them eat the tree of life, so he put them out. So now you have a realm, a earth realm, that we're currently living in so many years later. John, and I do mean, I should say centuries, right? John 3 and 19, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. So in essence, spirits, and I hope that you're following me, and if you're not following me, just give me a, you know, y'all are faithful listeners. Y'all can text me and say, Dr. Carey, what you talking about? Or this was not clear, or I didn't get the scriptures, because I want you to be very clear with understanding the content which we're talking about on this month. That's why I'm taking the time to set it up. So when we come to you and we give you each topic the rest of the Saturdays, you will understand fully where we are coming from. So let's talk about spirits, because the title is Understanding Spirits, and Spiritual Warfare. I gave you a definition of spiritual warfare, because, and that definition was just to update you or give you a little bit of clarity and bringing to your remembrance what we've already talked about. So a spirit is this non-physical part of a person, which is the seat of emotions, character, and some would consider this a soul. These qualities are regarded as forming the definition of a topical elements in the person, nation, or group, in the thought and the attributes of a particular period. But it's also, if you notice now, that when you go by a liquor store, they're no longer called liquor stores, but they're called wine and spirits now, because liquor has that ability to change your very nature and your very character once you consume it. So the Bible talks about unclean spirits. And when and I want to go back to spirits for a second. And when you look at a spirit, spirit is that part of that being, that part of us. The Bible says that we were made in three parts: God the Father, God the Son. As God is made in Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We are made in three parts. And in Genesis, it talked about the fact that once Adam was formed in the dust of the ground, God came and he blew air into his nostril or breath. And the Bible says that he became a living soul, living spirit. So in essence, there is a part of man that does not die, but there is that part of man that has to go back to the dust. Now, We know what the Bible say. We know that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We know those scriptures. But those of us that have not crossed over, we can speculate, we can analyze it, but Paul says it's a mystery. Praise God. So in essence, we also have that other realm or that dark side of spirits, which is called unclean spirits. And these are, and someone, when someone disobeys God's order, he can also, when sin erupts or when you become entangled in sin, you begin to operate or allow unclean spirits to really take over. So when someone sins, disobeys God, when he or she becomes unclean spiritually, causing God to move away from him or her, then he or she is cursed unto destruction. Evil spirits are also called unclean spirits because of the sin within them. They are attracted to people who are spiritually unclean. For unclean is attracted to unclean. Evil spirits referred to, and they're referred in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, they often are called by such names as unclean spirits, impure spirits, deceiving spirits, lying spirits, demonic spirits, and demons. In all cases, evil spirits are manipulated or evil supernatural beings And it's not manipulated, I'm sorry. But the evil, unnatural beings, evil spirits work against God. But the Bible also informs us that God in his sovereignty can choose to use evil spirits to conduct his plans, purpose, and demonstrate that he is ruler over all the universe. So in essence, we understand and we know that God is still in control. The Bible does not reveal the origin of evil spirits, but we believe that they are angels who have fallen with Satan. So the Bible in Matthew 25 and 41 and Revelation 12, 7 through 9 talks about evil spirits. It talks about the fall of Satan. And certainly when Satan was kicked out of heaven and Satan was kicked out of heaven because he wanted to be like God, the Bible says he took a third, one-third of angels with him. And those one-third angels with him are now demonic spirits, demons is operating in the realm. What did they fall to? They fell to the earth. They fell to the earth, and they're now walking among us. Yeah. I want to say that again. They're now walking among us. And those that are operating in sin certainly are allowing those unclean spirits to influence them and dictate their behavior. While evil spirits exist as part of the hierarchy of the enemy, Ephesians 6 and 12, and there is a hierarchy, I want you to know. And that hierarchy, when we talk about it, those who are not flesh and blood are demons over whom Satan has control. They are not mere fantasies. They are very much real. We face a powerful enemy, and their goals are to defeat you. Their goals are to defeat those born-again believers that are going to church, that believe in God. And I want you to know, please understand that Satan is going to church too. So we talk about we wrestle, and I gave you the definition for wrestle. We are wrestling against one-third of Satan's group of army that were kicked out of heaven with him. So we're fighting against principalities, those eminent leaders, powers, authorities that have power over the atmosphere, rulers, the powers of darkness in this world. And, of course, we're talking about spiritual, right? Spiritual wickedness in high places. And I gave you in the introduction about politics and school systems and leaders and never seen a past president ever being indicted on the charges as we see today. We see so much evil that is operating in the land today. And you may say in your mind, I never would have lived to believe it. But then you must understand that Ephesians 6 is in operation. We don't fight against flesh and blood. Sometimes we say, I don't understand why he did that. It's not him that's doing it. It's the spirit that's behind him. The word says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That means that I have authority over every demonic spirit that presents itself in front of me. And I am operating in my authority as a Holy Ghost-filled believer that has the anointing of God behind me. And because I'm a Holy Ghost filled believer with the power of God behind me, I can speak to it and it has to go. Now the Bible says some things come by fasting and prayers, fasting and praying. There's some demonic spirits you cannot deal with unless you have put this flesh under subjection and the Spirit of God dominates your every thought, being, mind, body. And every thought is put up under subjection that's contrary to the Word of God. So that when I go against the enemy, so that when I go against the enemy's camp, I'm fully equipped to deal and fight the battle. Ooh. Y'all got me going, but I think I got 9 more minutes. Praise the Lord. Y'all pray for me, saints. So most of the spirit mentioned in the Old Testament were sent from God as punishment on disobedient humans. 1 Kings chapter 22, verses 20 through 23, and Judges 9:23. God used an evil spirit to judge Abimelech and avenge the murderous murder of Gideon's son. God is not the author of evil, but he can allow evil powers and subject his control to bring about certain consequences in accordance with his plan. So what am I saying? I'm saying God is in control. And I want you to hear this, and I'm going to wrap it up. And evil, we want to talk about spirit. So any spirit against the Word of God is a lie. No man by flesh. First heaven, second heaven, Jeremiah 10, Luke 16 and 28. Understand that there is an underworld. Spirits have hierarchies. Mm-hmm. So we have to pray all the time. We have a prince of the air, which I just talked about. I told you about the principalities, the rulers. They oppose us. They want to oppress the believer. They want to keep you down. So they try to possess, or they do possess non-believers, and they can depress a person. They can oppose a person. Satan has his own church, y'all. He has demonic spirits assigned to attack, to burden you down, to keep you, your mind occupied. But the Bible says to keep your mind stayed on Christ, and you have to do that by putting on the whole armor of God. We are in this world, but we're not of this world. And Satan certainly... we have to be armed accordingly. The Lord sent an evil spirit to show he had rejected Saul as king. So we understand, and certainly there's so many other places where God uses evil spirits. But I want to get to this point that when we look at spirits, when we look at what's operating around us in the world today, it is not flesh and blood, but it is principalities. There are spirits. There are ancient spirits that have returned. There was a time, and we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about next week, the Jezebel spirit, praise the Lord. And there was a time that the saints, the moral compass of our world was not as perverse as it is today. And that is because Satan understands that his time is short, and he wants to oppress and oppose those believers. The ones that are unsaved, he got those. And we have to begin to really pray for our unsaved loved ones, because if they die in their sins, there is no hope. But once the rapture gets here and the saints that are called up, you know, first they're going to be called up. He's going to call for those that are dead, and then the live shall rise in the air with Christ and be with Christ forever, scripture-wise. And certainly I'm giving my own interpretation, my paraphrasing it because I don't have the scripture in front of me. But the key or the understanding of that scripture is this. That they are, we're going to be cut up. Those that are gone on, those that have crossed over into glory, we mourn them. We mourn those that have passed away. We mourn them much. Praise the Lord, saints. I have never got cut off of a show before. Praise God. Hallelujah. Sorry for the disruption, but the enemy, I guess, the lesson was too hot. I was cut off, so I had to reconnect in this show. Praise God. But I want to leave you with this. We who believe in Jesus Christ, we are in the church, and we have become enemies of Satan, and certainly he will try at all costs to stop you. For example, this lesson being shut off for no reason at all, just automatically just shut off. My phone has never cut off during my blog talk before, and yet it chooses today to do that. So that's a supernatural power of the enemy that he tries to throw and tries to stop the believer. And there's some things God will allow the enemy to do, but we are to take hold of faith, and we are to take hold of what the Word of God says, and we are to do battle with the enemy. There are spirits that are working against us, and this was a prime example of a spirit working against you, understanding and hearing the message that I'm giving you today. So as we walk in Ephesians 6:10-18, it gives us 7 components of the army of God. And we have preached and talked about these things all the time. We've talked about them in the past. We continue to talk about them because they are essential for you to arm yourself accordingly every day. Every day before you leave your house, you are to put these 7 elements or 7 components on you. The helmet of salvation, which covers your head. The shield of faith, with extinguishes all the fiery darts, and he will throw them. The breastplate of righteousness, which guards your heart. The belt of truth, which girdles yourself with truth. We are to operate in the truth. Saints don't deal in, and let me say a little lie. We don't deal in lies at all. Shoes fit with the gospel of peace. Having your shoes on means that you are able to do the right thing, and you are able to move with God's direction. And also, there's a peace in the storm about you. You're able to go through the storm and be like Jesus, be on the bottom of the boat when it's storming outside. And you can do as Jesus said, speak to the storm and say, peace be still. And it's got to be still. Ooh, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and the Word is active and alive. You can use it anywhere. It's like it's your platinum card. It's the highest credit card you can use that gets you access to everything and anything. Just use it everywhere you go. Just use it. Just use it. Just lay it on the table and use it. Oh, the Word of God. Oh, it will give me life, and that life more abundantly. Mm-hmm. And it will change my every thought pattern, that old self. What I once used to be, I'm no longer, because the Word of God has did a transformation on my life. Now I am a saint of the Most High God, and I'm operating in his principles. And when I would have gone off on you, the Word of God has changed me so I can keep my peace and say, peace be still. Mm-hmm. Praise God. Hallelujah. And praying in the Spirit. That goes beyond our understanding and connects with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will be our intercessor and edification, and it will edify, and it will uplift God, and it will direct us in how and what we should say and how to say it. Mm-hmm. So in essence, our spirit connects with God's spirit because we're living in a time that we need God. And we need to put on the armor of God. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for this session. I thank you, God, for those that have stayed with me and on the line to hear your word. We praise God for you. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for salvation. We thank you for each and every one, God, that has heard this lesson. I pray, God, for guidance and understanding, God. We bind the enemy that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Father God, I pray for each and every one of us, God, as we put the armor upon ourselves, God, as we begin to fight in this battle, Father God, as we begin to start taking control, taking hold of our loved ones, taking hold of those around us, God, taking hold of our homes, God, and pulling down every stronghold that tries to present itself against you, because there's power in us, and the power does not come from us, but it comes from the Holy Spirit that dwells on the inside. And I pray, God, that you give another refilling of everyone, hey, Babasaha, on this line, that you refill the more, God, hey, Babasaha, in the name of Jesus, God, that you'll pour your anointing, that you'll pour your spirit out in the name of Jesus. Father God, those that have disconnected, we pray for them, God, that your anointing will be upon them, God, as we arm ourselves accordingly to fight, because we are fighting, God. We are fighting, God. We're taking hold of every demonic spirit, and we're pulling it down in the name of Jesus. We're declaring that our loved ones shall be saved in the name of Jesus. The Bible says, if my ways please him, which is God, then you can ask what you will. And because I'm asking the will of God, because it is in God's will that man should not perish, and because it is in his will, I can ask for my loved ones to be saved. And I'm asking, God, that for every loved one that's represented on this line who are not saved, that you'll save them, that you'll fill them with the Holy Ghost, that you'll move in them, Father God, that they may take up the mantle, God. You said in the last days you will pour out your spirit. And Father God, we are in expectations of your spirit, the godly spirit, being poured out on each and every one. Now I pray for our co-host, God, and everyone associated with him, that you continue to bless and keep her, God. Oh, and you cover her with the blood, God. I pray that you cover everyone on the line with the blood, God, that you keep our minds stayed on you. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Until we meet again, God bless. Bye-bye.